No, like, it's too late. I already hit go live.
Damn it. It is August 16th, 2021. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast. What's up, fellas?
What Dan's doing. Dan is crunching numbers for the download later, I think.
Yeah. Or hopefully he's not making a download. Anyway, I am Tim Herb.
Gross.
Welcome in on this lovely Monday evening. As always, joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley, in the middle of the screen, if you guys are watching us live on YouTube, and Mr. Dan James, Sir Dan James, to you English folks on the right side of the screen.
Thank you. That's the appropriate title.
How did it feel to get knighted this weekend, Dan?
It wasn't too bad. It kind of met my expectations.
How did they cut you with the sword?
No, they use the flat edge. Like, they don't slice you on each shoulder. It's they use the flat edge.
I thought it was like a branding exercise. Like, you got the marks. Like, it leaves leaves scars on your shoulders.
Yeah, almost. It's similar to, thank God. It's similar to, I don't know if you've seen, what's that thing with,
I forgot
Viggo
the rule,
in,
and I'm sorry. I don't know how this works.
Where he gets the Russian mafia tattoos on his knees.
Oh yeah. Eastern Promises.
It's Eastern Promises. Yes. Thank you. God, it's basically the same as that, though there's less crime in Eastern Promises.
That was my Steam avatar for the longest time, was Viggo Mortensen whenever he's threatening the guy and he's doing the fingers to the throat, like he's gonna. That's just a really. Yeah. I don't think I've ever
I
seen
that
movie.
To my kids when they don't get to bed.
Yeah, exactly. But don't. Yeah, dude. There's a scene in that movie. If you guys haven't seen it, there's a really brutal fight scene in a Turkish bathhouse, and it is. That, yeah, the movie's fantastic. Anyway, thank you guys for
Transporter again?
Yeah, Transporter. One, two. What's the one where his heart will stop? What's the one where it's like human speed? Is if he doesn't stop running, or if he stops running, his heart will explode?
Speed.
Yeah. But the one with the human.
Yeah, with Keanu Reeves.
No, with Jason Statham.
Oh. I thought you were talking about speed.
No, there's a Jason Statham. It's just like, it's crank.
Keanu Reeves has got
crank.
That bomb inside of him.
Thank you. Bradley D is going to replace Kevin Michael Bradley on the podcast because he's able to, and Jay Hannibal too. Thank you. Cranked.
Is that the one with what's his face from 500 Days of Summer where he's on the bicycle?
Gordon Levitt.
Is that that movie?
Oh, gosh. Gosh. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. If you're watching us live, Kevin, if you guys are watching on YouTube, Kevin is getting us a copyright strike. Because Lord knows if anybody needs the money right now from the record label, it's Limp Bizkit. If you guys are watching us live.
We just got to keep on rolling, baby.
Keep on rolling. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, make sure that you hit the subscribe button, the notification bell icon, the reminder set up or whatever. And make sure that you guys get the notifications whenever we go live so you can join the lovely folks in the trap who tonight... It's populated by the likes of Andy Watkins, Kendrick Brock, Richard Gordon, Elliot Beaven, Michelle, Chiefs coach Steve, Brent Crawford, Bradley D, Matt Wisniewski, Jay Hannibal, and yeah, so far.
You say Michelle? I thought I saw Michelle on there.
Yeah,
too,
yeah, I did. Pretty lively trap. Pretty lively trap tonight. And if you guys are listening to us
yesterday,
if you're awesome. Listening to us the day after or whenever. You know, this might get posted.
What do you mean, whenever? It was one time.
I know.
One time.
Yeah.
It happened.
I act like I have the best track record.
Last week it was up the night of.
Yeah. Anyway, if you guys are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, leave a rating and or a review. We will read it live on the show. You guys have been slacking this season. We need the ratings, the reviews, the likes. Smash the like button if you're watching us on YouTube. Because why not?
Attention, really.
We need the attention. We're looking for the press pass. We need a press pass.
No, I'm okay with that.
Nobody's giving us a press pass.
That's not happening. No, that's not going to happen.
I'll leave that to the likes of Ron Pena and Joe Patrick and all those good folks.
The front office know that our cutting analysis is just too good to give us media access.
I mean, they keep responding to it within the organization, so our voices must mean something. You know, if we continue to see these actions based on our feedback, then clearly we have a voice to be heard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know why there's any other media that covers Atlanta United, to be honest with you, outside of this podcast. I just
agree.
Before we get into the actual game, can I ask you guys opinions on Tailgate Gate yesterday? Can we call it that? Tailgate Gate?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, no? You guys don't know what we're talking about?
No.
Okay. Okay, so yesterday, LAFC.
Oh, geez, cool. I'm so glad I have the power.
Oh boy, who gave Kevin all that power? That's when we cue in that Kanye song. Anyway, so yesterday at the, I haven't been to a game in so long. The Home Depot backyard, right? That's where they tailgate now.
Mm-mm. The supporter section.
Yeah,
those supporters groups.
Yeah, where do they tailgate?
No, they're down by like the hotel down the street.
Okay. Well, they partied yesterday and set up, and the LAFC faithful showed up, and I guess they were invited, but then they started popping smoke, and I guess Resurgence got really pissed off because an opposing team's fans were popping smoke at our tailgate. I just wanted to get it seems to be this, again, I call it tailgate gate because it seems to be a very polarizing thing on the Twitter sphere. Take it for what it's worth. I know it's not real life, but I don't know. How do you guys feel? Because a lot of people are like, well, they're nice. They weren't doing anything like offensive, whatever. But I just wanted to get your thoughts.
Don't fucking care. It's just like everything else. Like, don't tell me how to fan. Don't tell somebody else how to fan. Don't say that you're the most rowdy and you're the supporters group that's going to do all the crazy shit and you're the only people that can do it and we're all about inclusivity, but you got to play by our rules and you don't want to, you know, rock the boat too much. You can't be bigger than we are in our own backyard. You know, fuck all that, man. Like, who cares? Who fucking cares? Did they do anything that hurt anybody aside from hurting somebody's feelings? No, I don't care. I think Resurgence is more mad that LAFC supporter section got to sit in the shade the entire game while all of ours were cooked in the sun for 90 minutes yesterday. I think that's really what's at the heart of this. All the sun cooked their brains. That's what they're mad about.
I think, Kevin, that's a good topic of conversation for us, me and you, and maybe Tim, to get into later about the orientation of the sun in the stadium.
Maybe me? What the fuck? Oh, because I wasn't there yesterday. You were there, Dan?
No. Architecture-wise.
Then again, what the fuck? I know I listened to the show today at work. While from last week, I was like, this is so much better without me.
Oh, shut your mouth.
Nah.
I was like, it sounds so much better. And Dan's just leading into it. No, but Dan, do you feel all right with an opposing team's fans coming in and popping smoke at our tailgate? It's one thing to get invited in and like to have fun, partake in food. I think you could see where my head's going and where my feelings are, but
I don't care. As long as they're like, it seemed like they were all having a fun time. As long as they're not violent and being dicks to each other.
Atlanta United does the same shit, right? Like, was that not the whole thing about the Nashville game in preseason, no less, 2 years ago? Like, what are we talking about right now? Or 3 years ago now?
Were we popping smoke in their tailgate?
They did the whole parade walking around the stadium and all that.
So, yeah, no, everybody does that, though. Opposing teams all march to stadiums.
So what's the difference? Like, what
popping
is it?
Smoke?
Who cares? It's smoke.
I don't know.
I would be annoyed if we lost.
Do you want to pop? Like, what if they were popping confetti? Does that make it worse? Like, what is it? What is it of the popping of smoke that's so offensive?
I don't care. I think smoke looks cool.
I don't know. I just think, like, what would happen if we went down to Orlando and Pop Smoke? I mean, we went down there in March to the stadium. Dude got his nose busted. Like, I mean, I don't know. Okay, maybe ATL smoke was popped in Nashville, according to Coach Steve. I don't know. I just
not worried about it.
To me, I think whatever. I don't know. I think it's kind of weak. I think it's kind of weak. But I at what point do you? I guess you can't do anything about it because it's not like one, two. Come on, everybody, let's gather around and pop smoke. It's just somebody's probably popping it. So I don't know. Maybe I'm making something out of nothing, but. I don't know. I think you gotta protect this house, like that guy from Under Armour used to say. You know, like it's home field advantage. You can't make those fans come in and
change the supporter game and start popping confetti. I think I'm onto something there. Like those little tube cannons that just pop all the confetti. That's what I want. Instead of beer showers, everybody just poof. Just you're talking confetti about everywhere.
No, those little plastic bottles little poppers, that have about that have probably like. An eighth of a cup of confetti. Gunpowder. Yeah.
That'd be cool. Like if the confetti is all like Atlanta United logos, because they're never going to clean all that up in the stadium. On. It's going to be there forever.
Or dude, what if we got cap guns? That's how we pop smoke. Everybody just had.
Do whatever happened to cap guns. Are those still things? Please tell me they're still around and we just outgrew them and they still exist.
Best part of cap guns. The smell
I'm sure they
after
did
a shot it. Was fired.
Oh, dude, just, the smell of cap guns was best, man.
Just nostalgia. Like, there's just so much nostalgia associated with that right now.
So you're like, pop, pop, pop.
Can you imagine, though?
You do it as a taunt. You pop, pop, pop. And then you just, the barrel across the nose.
You dragging his cap gun across your face.
You get 1,000 people in the tailgate. Everybody's got a six shooter cap guns and then Red Dead Revolver / whatever Wild West movie. Everybody fans the hammer, just all like six it. Shots immediately.
I like it.
Yeah. That would be fun. I still need to do the wooden whistle at some point. The entire stadium. That's what
everybody
they should
gets do. Train whistles to go into the game.
Yeah, that'd they have great. The Korean noisemaker things that they do at basketball games. Why not hand everybody a wooden whistle to blow during the game? How fun would that be?
Especially right now with COVID, just who cares about dropping, right? Just fucking make it rain.
That's actually a good experiment. I'm going to put on my mask and see if I see if I can still toot that whistle. Oh,
knowing you, Tim, I have faith. I think you can do it through the mask. I feel like you've got it in you.
All right. I feel like that was an insult, a veiled insult that went over my head. Anyway, so to the game, Kevin.
Well, before stadium. The game, we touched on it briefly, but you guys weren't there. I'm sure I saw many of you in the trap at the game yesterday. The sun with the roof open was cooking people. And I saw the most innovative solution to it that I could have ever imagined, which was a couple of guys that had gotten a whole pizza. Cause you know, you can get the pizza from Capital Crust, the whole pizza. They had just cut a hole in the middle of the pizza box and wearing them like sombreros. The tops of their heads are sticking out through the hole.
Oh, and I was, dude, geez.
It was the best thing. It was the best thing.
Necessity, right? The mother of invention.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty great. Pretty
so was
pretty.
It like, did it make the whole stadium hotter?
Yeah, I mean, everywhere felt warmer for sure. It wasn't unbearable throughout the stadium, but that whole like 100, like from 105 over to like 100 was just bathed in it in the second half. Like so much so that we ended up going up to standing room on second floor just because it was just unbearable at whatever time that was at that point, 5 o'clock in the afternoon and just straight down on us. It was tough. I mean, I know DeAndre, we saw him at halftime along with a lot of people, like I said, from the trap, Michelle and Joe and Chiefs coach Steve, a couple others over there. But yeah, DeAndre came out. He's like, I'm not going to make it. It is so bad in the supporter section right now. And I'm sure after the beer shower, it was real nasty over there.
Sticky.
Oh, nice. I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
It sounds terrible. It also doesn't do, like, for us at home, Dan, I don't know about you, but like it does not do us any favors watching the game with that sun coming in. It may be different if we were like, I can't remember who was pointing this out. Maybe it was, might have been Kendrick, maybe it was somebody else, but like Las Vegas and some of the newer stadiums, they have grass that rolls in. Like, it would look a lot better, I think, if we had grass out there. I think the turf really, it already looks pretty damn worn, which we talked about
before. But our turf always looks terrible. It always looks horrible. It's like...
it certainly does 5 years into the... 5 years into... It's
well, they changed it. They upgrade the turf like a year or two after we moved into the stadium. They put a whole new thing down. Yeah, it's bizarre. It drives me nuts. I hate it that on the TV, I mean, you've got this horrible exposure glare on one side of the field, and as soon as you know play moves into that area, you can't see the ball. It's just like white space. I'm surprised there isn't some sort of camera lens technology that you can't just put on the end of the camera and it fixes it, or some sort of algorithm that in post fixes the image on the screen. It's bizarre why this hasn't been figured out yet.
If you've watched a Michael Bay movie, they shoot a lot of that during the day. Just put the night filter on it. Like, that's all you got to do, right?
Well, then you got to play against Optimus Prime, which is a whole other thing.
Right. LAFC's Optimus Prime looked a little chunky yesterday, but looked a little slow.
A little more Optimus Primal, like
Optimus Prime rib. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It drives me nuts. Like, I think like how much of the design of the stadium could have been avoided. You know, it seems weird that you would have the sun angle be in the end zone when players are trying to catch touchdowns or goalkeepers are trying to, you know, save goals and stuff. It just seems strange to me that they did that.
I'm looking forward to it Wednesday night. To Will Bowron's point, they're keeping the roof open apparently to get around the Atlanta indoors mask mandate.
That doesn't make any sense though, because it's not providing any ventilation. There's no air movement.
This is Georgia. And something to say about them rules.
And it's only providing probably like 15,000 people with UV exposure to kill the virus, right? Yeah. So it's not like, because like people in our section, the tickets that we've never got to use, but like people in that section, they're going to be in the shade the entire time.
I'm looking forward to a Wednesday night, man. I mean, the game's at 7 o'clock, so the sun won't be like,
that'll be nice.
It'll be perfect, man. Like, that was the thing, was getting back to off of MARTA yesterday evening at like 6:30, 7 o'clock, it felt perfect. And I'm assuming, especially with the storm coming through tomorrow and Wednesday morning, like Wednesday evening should feel really, really nice around that time with the roof open, hopefully.
Wednesday is a high of 90, Kevin.
Yeah, but that's like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The game's not until 7. It'll be cooled off a little bit. It's not going to be down in the 40s, but it'll be a nice evening out.
So you're saying it's going to be 69 degrees out?
Yeah.
Is it raining Wednesday? When's Fred hitting us?
Tomorrow. Oh, okay. I can already see the clouds moving in now.
We have a tropical storm coming in, or hurricane?
Yeah,
do you really not know that?
No, I don't. I've been so...
Oh, yeah.
My life has been sleep, bounce on the bouncy ball, sleep, bounce on the bouncy ball, go to work.
Do you know the Premier League started
too? Too funny enough, but I still knew about it. That's what's weird.
Oh, the Premier League, this weekend was amazing. This weekend was absolutely amazing for Premier League soccer.
Yeah.
What? Did somebody say tropical storm?
Fred. Yeah. I only know because my kids, well, one of them loves the weather.
Oh, another tropical storm, Fred, I can get behind. So should we start talking about the game now?
Yeah, so 3-0 Liverpool beat Norwich at Norwich.
Oh, come on. No, all that really matters.
In the return of Virgil van Dijk and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain to the lineup, they look unstoppable.
And Josh Sargent to the Premier League, right?
Yeah, as Rob Ostrich keeps saying, we have enough depth at right back because he was pinned back in his own half, even whenever he came on defending the entire time. So, yeah. Anyway.
I guess that's where the three goals were that you were expecting to see out of Atlanta this week. Another little recap here.
Did I get the scorer right, though? Did I at least say Joseph?
No. You didn't say anybody.
Fuck.
It's, you well, didn't then say anybody.
Then it defaults
to Joseph.
So this
is what
I'm going to
do. I thought about this all weekend. I'm going to wipe the extra points off for Dan and I, who we both called Joseph to score one of those two goals. So we both said that Atlanta would win. Dan said the shutout 2-0. I said 2-1. I sat here and said I didn't see Atlanta getting a shutout. I was wrong. But we both called Joseph getting one of those goals. I'm going to wipe off the Joseph goal score, even though I shouldn't. It's a technicality. I said, Tim, who do you think is going to score? You were in the trap, clearly. You did not respond. And I jokingly said, if Tim doesn't respond, I'm going to assume Guzan hat trick. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, fair. I mean, those rules.
Them's the rules. But Dan and I both get a point. It doesn't really matter. I mean, let's be honest. It's going to be
I
a
I feel like I should get bonus
anyway.
Points for calling the shutout.
It's going to be – I'll give you one for the shutout.
So how many points do we each have? I know Tim's got two.
Dude, you asked me this last week. It's all on note cards and stuff, man. I'll gather all this up at the end of the season. It's here.
Oh,
I'm not going
season.
Anywhere.
Uh-huh. It'll be great when I predict the rest of the matches correctly, and then all of a sudden the note cards go missing.
Oopsies. Oh, man.
Brittany S. saying, I was surprised by a clean sheet. It's been 70 years. Yeah, I felt like, I forgot the guy's name, but Ken Watanabe in Inception, old man with regret, filled with regret. It's been so long.
Yeah.
I will say, and you know, Chiefs coach Steve saying my daughter's going to have a potty mouth. Probably. That's
she's going to have to hang out with me. So,
yeah. But I will say, and I'm not going to say she's taking full credit for it, but I will say that we're averaging almost 2 points per match since she's been born. So,
well,
yeah, which is up with the likes of New England. So, I mean. Yeah.
Wow.
So I think we're on track.
Have you been doing something like what's your routine with her before the match?
Get her to sleep.
All right. She doesn't sleep. Just like a quarter of an Ambien. A quarter.
Yeah. Yeah.
If she needs to be asleep for us to get more points to him.
Try. Okay. Okay. Maybe that's what it is.
Tell Angie.
Hopefully she's not watching. If she's watching,
she's probably not. Did she actually watch this? I mean, come on.
She hasn't watched this in years.
She's got better things to do.
Yeah. She hasn't watched this in years. Once you guys got married, she's like, well, I'm done.
Every now and then she turns around and says, oh, you still do that podcast?
Good for you. Whatever
you do. Oh. Yeah.
So before we do start about the game, I got to have another deviation, a missed connection. I saw somebody two rows in front of me yesterday with the Unite shirt that we put out through Home Before Dark 2 years ago, three years ago. Had it on. I was masked and had it up. So I just said, nice shirt. Might not have known who I was either way, but still had on the Home Before Dark Unite shirt. And on his hat, he had a little button that said trap. I don't know if it's coincidence or not. I don't know if I just made this up in my mind, but whoever you are, sir, in section 104, if you listen to this show still, we might have lost him 3 years ago. Who knows?
Right. It's trains.
It's whoever trains. You are, I appreciate you.
So, Kev, he was four rows in front of you?
Two rows in front of me.
Yeah, well, he obviously knew it was you because he would have heard you just throughout the game.
Is that Tom Hanks? It's either
so
Kevin or Tom Hanks.
Just, oh, God. Or he was like this. That's Kevin Bradley.
That was definitely not the response that I got. I was like, nice shirt. And he just goes, that was really.
He was struck dumb with amazement of seeing
that was it. Maybe I was hallucinating from the heat, like Will says. That could have definitely been.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So,
all right. Great pod, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. You can find all of us online to the power of Dan on Peloton and
cycle.
No. So thoughts about the game yesterday. Initial takeaways.
Promising. I thought it was going to be a higher scoring game initially, even though I predicted 2-0. I thought we would definitely give up a goal, even though I predicted 2-0. But
it
just coming
seemed like they were hell bent on giving one up throughout most of that game.
That's right. I thought the offside goal, that was a little. That was lucky.
That was real lucky.
But I thought we did really well containing Carlos Vela, and who I like a lot better with his current haircut than his previous shit one. So I was happy that I thought Alan Franco played great. I was impressed with him. Bello had a game. Moreno was awesome. I thought Barker was fantastic.
Wow.
I thought that in the first half, it felt like if they'd have just taken the ball first time rather than had an extra touch around the box, we'd have probably ended up with more goals than just the one. Even Joseph, he would take an extra touch and it would take him out, or the goalkeeper would be able to save his shot, which was kind of annoying. But Barker was fantastic. He's been just running at defenses and passing it off, and I think it's what we've all been wanting to see for the past, like, I mean, he's been doing it for the past three games, right?
Yeah. No, I thought it was a great showing as well across the board. There wasn't a whole lot of negative. I don't know that it was as complete a performance as maybe the Columbus game was, but overall, obviously, a really great game. The result that you wanted to get out of that game. I think Atlanta did get lucky with that offside call as well. But I mean, all promising things, all promising developments. I'm still interested to see how Luis fits into the lineup. If I did have one negative, in my opinion, and I know he's still kind of getting the rust off the tires, Brooks Lennon, we saw him come back into the match, and I just thought that his performance coming back in as a sub just left a little bit to be desired, and I think it's just him getting back into the groove of things. But, yeah, overall, I thought Bello, I mean, I think Joseph got man of the match, but for me, it was Bello by far.
So, yeah, Bello was great. Everybody played pretty well. I thought, I mean, Josetta was maybe the only one that you can look at and see maybe getting supplanted in the lineup. I look at the back line and I'm starting to get a lot happier. I think that Alan Franco missed an assignment, unless I misunderstood on that free kick, which to me isn't, I don't know how that was offside.
That was, I mean, like, it was so close.
It was like his shoulder, man.
Right.
Like,
that was like,
it was like inches.
That was like a Premier League reversal. Like it was like, yeah, paper thin, razor thin decision. We definitely should count our lucky stars on that. I think that we blew an assignment on that free kick with Alan Franco, and maybe it was the only foot wrong he really put in the game. He does look better.
Set pieces, man.
No, for sure. Yeah, it sucks, mm-hmm. And it sucks especially whenever trying to think. We gave away
the back post every time. That's what I just can't get my head
around. And that was a cheap foul too that led to that, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what led to that free kick getting who would have been on that side? Ronald Hernandez?
No, I think that was on Franco, actually. I think Franco gave up the free kick.
Okay. Gotcha.
Oh,
okay.
That gave up the free kick. Sorry, I thought you were talking about covering on back post.
So one, I think it's easy to talk about you know, how well, because Barco has been playing really well, seeing Joseph, you know, pray that his hamstring is not anywhere as bad as, like, maybe I'm thinking it was. It's definitely a little worried.
Stuff from him?
No.
About him saying that, like, he had three surgeries in 5 days in December, and he was legitimately considering, like, retiring, basically, because of all the complications he was having and how hard it was for him to get back out playing. But yeah, his post-match interview was pretty wild, man.
Yeah. So whenever, if let's say Luis Araujo comes in on Wednesday, Brooks Lennon's healthy, Ronald Hernandez is obviously healthy, what does your right side look like? Because to me, I think Hernandez is has he kind of solidified himself in that right back position?
I would put in.
I don't know with Lennon's being back healthy again now.
Okay.
I don't know that you do that, especially with the back, like the center three being as strong as they've been, and they continue to build that growth between Walks, Franco, and Miles. Like they can kind of shift over to cover to where you're not relying on Lennon to be a true right back position. Like, and I think his distribution offensively is going to be a little bit stronger too. I don't know, Dan, what do you think? I think it's Lennon's spot personally.
I do too. I think Hernandez has kind of been our weakest link. He's been all right. I'm just looking on like SofaScore past five games. So against Columbus, he was like a 6.2, Montreal 6.5, Orlando's a 5.6. Then the previous Columbus game at home in the Benz, he was 6.8. So he's definitely been the lowest rated guy of the team. But I mean, he's been all right. He's been serviceable. He scored a goal in those ratings as well. So
yeah,
you know, you'd usually think has got a big bump there, but he's just been all right.
Okay.
I would definitely put Lennon in.
Maybe it's recency bias too, just not having seen Brooks Lennon in for a while. I don't think that Hernandez has been, aside from maybe his first start, I feel like he had a couple bad beats, even though that was the game he scored in. But then I think he's been pretty solid. I don't know. I just look at that right side and Araujo has to come in, right? Like he's a DP. He's going to have to come in.
Well, it depends on his visa. Like I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow night or Wednesday night. Like it might be over the weekend or next week, but I don't know that it's going to be in 2 days. You know, I just don't know how long that visa process is going to take.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry. He scored the goal against Cincinnati and he got a 7.8 rating for that. So that was just before we played Columbus at home. So yeah, that one bumped him up, but I mean, the form hasn't been great of late when you compare him to, you know, the guys around him.
Yeah.
That's fair. So, everybody's putting in good chips, though.
Yeah, everyone's putting in good chips, but it seems like our right has always been the weaker side just because, you know, Bello, Moreno, Barco will favor the left. And then without Lennon, we've had a Hernandez, and then Lopez has been going in here and there. And it just hasn't.
It certainly hasn't been consistent at all. Yeah,
it hasn't. No, it hasn't
at all either, which doesn't help that. If there is any consistency, it's through Lennon, and I think that's the big thing there is that if you get him in there, I think his distribution is going to be a lot better, particularly for Joseph, you talk about this past week and the past couple of weeks, we've been wondering. He's certainly not back to 100%. I'm not going to sit here and make that argument, but I think he's trending that way, that you know he's certainly looking more like himself and looking to get on the end of shots and opportunities a lot more consistently, and the team's finding out how to put him in that position a lot more consistently as well, which is nice to see. And if you get Lennon on that right side, I think that only opens that up even more so, because that's where I think a lot of the issue, to Dan's point, has been, is that without Lennon in the lineup, we just haven't seen a really consistent or quality distribution pattern from that right wing position whatsoever without Lennon being in the lineup.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, Atuesta seemed to be having some decent success towards our right-hand side cutting in. I know Miles Robinson was standing him up here and there, but there just wasn't enough. There just wasn't enough coverage. I think Rosetto played okay, and he kind of covered a little bit more of that ground to the right hand side, so the right hand middle of our half, when you look at the heat maps and stuff, but it just wasn't consistent, like you're saying. But
it's better to be on this side of problems than on the opposite, like we were a month and a half ago, where it was like, who are we going to play because we don't have anybody. Now it's like, well, we've got a couple of options at least. With Luis, that's the big question mark for me, is how, not only where does he play at, but what happens to Moreno and Barco specifically, because they're going to have the biggest adjustments to make with another player in the mix that's going to want to do some of some of those similar things. But I don't know much about Arujo and his speed, but that is one thing that I think that the team is kind of lacking on the counter. Barco is really your only counter threat with the ball at his feet that kind of gives you anything with pace. And we saw that in the goal that Atlanta scored. Great heads up play by Moreno to put it to Barco in space where he can draw those two defenders to leave Joseph open to pass the ball off. But aside from Barco, like, Moreno doesn't give me any sort of, I don't know, he doesn't intimidate me with his speed, right? Like, Moreno's skill set is more a one-on-one attacking threat and being able to split defenders and move the ball in tight quarters. Joseph obviously can be quick, but he's much more of an aerial threat and somebody that's going to test that back line. I think that from what I've heard about Luis, he seems to be more of a at-pace player that could help open that up on a quick counterattack, which Atlanta needs more of that so that you're not relying on Barco to do all of the lion's share of that and track back to play what little bit of defense that he's been asked to do too.
Yeah. You look at this lineup and they're probably from an opposing side. There are probably only two guys that you have to game plan for in terms of speed, right? And that's both on the their right side, but Barco and Bello, I would think, are the only two guys that really have any sort of pace on our team. When you really look at it, other than like tracking speed for a center back, I'm sure Miles Robinson, and if they clock their speed, they'd be faster than most guys. But
you're not asking them to do that.
Right. Exactly. Like
every couple of minutes,
nobody on this team scares me from a counterattacking perspective. No. I guess Brooks Lennon, whenever he comes back, he's quick, but
right. Right. But he's not going down the middle of the field. He's taking it up on the wing. And that's depending on people in the middle to track with him to be able to distribute the ball to, you know?
Yeah. Brittany essays, Jürgen Damm, just kidding. But did you guys see that we tried to trade him?
I did there's not some, see
there's,
that.
There's some, I saw some report before we went live where there was
that's
some
Club
sort
America.
Of, yeah. There's a failed swap with Club America for another player. It looked like that.
Did the connection get disconnected on FIFA Manager?
Yeah.
Wow. That would have been awesome. I mean, I don't care who we would have bought in, but that would have been amazing.
Yeah. this just in, or just whatever, transfer talks have broken down between Jürgen Damm and Club America. It's the email that Pineda got.
So I think to Luis Araujo, just looking back at what he's done with Lille, I mean, he's been a lot. If you look at the heat maps, he's more of a right-sided player. Like, he just stays on the right. He'll drift over to the middle here and there, but it seems to be that he's going to stay. He's not going to be as roaming as, like, Barco and who's the other?
Moreno.
So I think that he's going to be more of a traditional right winger in terms of a non-roaming guy, because, you know, Moreno, he's a playmaker, man. I mean, he's been immense for us the past couple of games. I mean, the hockey assist that he got to Barco on the goal was just tremendous vision. And he's been, and you to your point, Kev, I mean, he doesn't have the speed, but what he doesn't have in speed, he makes up with kind of just nous of how to play the game. Like, I think he's one of the most fouled players. And as soon as he gets caught up in two defenders, he's going down and he seems to draw the foul more often than not. So, I kind of think it's an easier fit if you just go with a 4-2-3-1. So you just have four in the back and then you have Joseph up top with Moreno in the middle at this, center attack in midfield, and then Barco on the left wing and Araujo on the right wing. And then you can have Sosa and Rosetta or Ibarra in the middle, but, it could look like that. We could do a 4-3-3, but I don't think it's something that you would do just to, have a four man back line. I think he could work in a 3-4-3 or a 4-3-3. You're just going to have him in that, however you want that midfield to work. But I just feel like he's just going to stay on the right a little bit much. Like, I don't think so. The way we're lined up against LAFC, you know, we had that five-man back line, but with Bello and Hernandez doing a putting out a ton of energy, getting up and down the flank, and then three in the middle with Barco and Martinez more up top. But, you know, it's probably like a 5-3-1-1 or whatever. But you could still have that right winger play, you know, whether it's we drop Rosetto and put Araujo in, that becomes a lot more attacking. But you kind of give up the midfield and maybe push Marino further inside. But I think there's ways to make it work. I think he's a more versatile player. He's got a lot of speed. And if you watch the highlight videos, I mean, he has the ball on the string when he's going through guys. He's such an incredible dribbler, just like Barco is. So it's great to have guys with that sort of technical ability, you know, across the way, that you could have a front four of amazing, technically gifted players who, two, have a lot of speed, and one's a quarterback in Moreno, and Martinez is the head of that beast. So it could be a real formidable front four.
So you're saying having three DP attackers is a good thing?
I would say that it's better to err towards that, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Do you guys think that any of that pressure is off of Alan Franco, or do you guys look at him differently now that he's not a DP?
I look at him differently now that he's had some time to gel with the team. Like, I think that there was a lot of pressure that he was being brought in as a DP, that maybe only compounded itself whenever he came in and didn't just play to the level that like Walks was doing in the same position, who had a little bit more time to develop that chemistry with Miles and Bello and Guzan. But, you know, like many in the trap have echoed, like, I think that particularly this past week and then even against Columbus, like, he seems to be getting that consistency that you want to see out of him. So I think that some of the pressure is off of him in that not so much the DP position's been lifted, but that he's just playing more consistently and people aren't like, as a defender, you're not expecting him to do, you know, he doesn't have to produce goals or produce opportunities. He's just going to keep his assignment and play within the structure of the back line. And like, if he's doing that, he's earning his position, right? Like, that's what great defenders do. And if he has some great standout play, like what Miles and Bello have been able to do, by all means, that's fantastic. But I think that he's just had a little bit more time to do some of the things that he didn't have the luxury of doing whenever he came in, and he was being pitted against a player that's been here, you know, for several years now and been able to build up some more chemistry and some more reps on that back line. And you're starting to see some of that dynamic change a little bit in his favor.
Yeah, I think so. Last week we talked about like how DP should have pressure on them. I think that the expectations on Franco, because I feel like, you know, as a DP, we all expect him to come in and be amazing. But to an extent, I think that was unfair on him. He was more of like a low end DP, like, they just did it because they were able to.
Technical DP.
Well, yeah, and just because for roster compliance.
Right.
I mean, we just don't know how much TAM they had, but I think there was a way they could have just paid for him in TAM and not put him in a DP. Maybe they wanted to, you know, hold, you know, keep their powder dry in terms of that and seeing what happened in the summer. But yeah, I thought the expectations on him was a little unfair, but it doesn't matter. We want all our players to perform to the best of their ability. So, but yeah, like you said, Kev, and like you said in the beginning, Kevin, let's give you some credit here. I mean, he just needed some time to get his legs under him so he could perform. And I think we're seeing in the past 2-3 games that he's starting to get there.
I will say he is probably the most, what's the word I'm looking for? He's the most LGP of our back line. Like, he's the most, he's the biggest liability on the back line, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one that every now and then you're like, what are you doing, man? You know,
yeah.
Prime example is the PK that we gave up due to an errant challenge that was unnecessary by him. It's like, what are you doing? You don't have to do all this, especially with the back line that we've got right now. Like, I think that's my biggest concern with them. I think that's maybe, I don't know if that's the remnants of that pressure that he's feeling to perform at a different level, or if that's just his play style naturally. But yeah, I think that if anything, that's the one thing that maybe concerns me a little bit more with him than with the rest of our back line, is that he could put us in a really vulnerable position to try to make up for some other mistakes in his play or shortcomings in his play.
So
Elliot Beaven saying, but Franco does not get reds yet.
The night is young, Elliot.
Sorry, Tim.
He's only like five starts in. So we'll give him a couple more games.
Yeah. You haven't even seen his final form yet. He comes out in his 10th game and all of a sudden he's got a gap in his front teeth.
Did he bleach his hair? Oh boy. Brent Crawford with the big question to piggyback off of that. If we were talking about, and I think he was also the one that said we have to switch before Dan started talking about 2-4-2-3-1 with Araujo coming in, like, who sits? Because we weren't expecting to go into the season and being so deep at center back. I mean, we're at least three starting caliber center backs deep. And then you have George Campbell, and then you can put Sosa in, obviously, on the back line. Who sits? Dan, of these three guys, who do you sit on Wednesday if you switch to a 4-3-2-1?
So I'm assuming Lennon's healthy. Otherwise, well, I mean, all right. I'll keep Hernandez. I mean, Toronto have not been great. I was going to say that.
Can we all just agree Hernandez. That Toronto is a must-win game for this team, especially the way they're playing right now? Like, at this point in the season, Toronto is a must-win for Atlanta United. Am I wrong in saying that? I mean, I feel like every game's a must-win, but especially against Toronto, like on the trend that you're tracking right now at home. I know it's a short turnaround week, but you gotta win this week.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely a must-win. I think we expect to win too. Like, this isn't like backs against the wall type of like must win, but I feel like this is our game to lose. I mean, Toronto's not a good team. They just hired their interim manager for the rest of the season, right? Took off the interim tag.
Did they really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't even know. The guy who replaced Chris Armas got permanent status a couple days ago. Wow. Yeah.
Sorry, I think this. So I'll answer this in a minute. But up to Brittany S's point, all games are must wins. They absolutely are, Brittany. If we're going to get playoffs, they are all must wins. But then Connor Thomas with the real, true nugget of knowledge here. If you lose, fire the coach. Absolutely, totally agree. Yeah. He's never even managed an MLS game.
Did you say who you're going to sit, Dan?
No, I didn't.
I fucked that up. That's my fault.
He did fuck it up.
I jumped it in there. Sorry.
But that's okay. Man.
He was stalling and wasn't answering, so I just tried to
typical.
Give him
a time. Typical. All right,
so
damn.
I'm gonna keep Bello and either Hernandez or Lennon. So who am I gonna sit between Walks, Franco, and Robinson? I feel like you could pick either right now. So whoever is the most tied, I think Walks has played every single game. So you could. Oh no, he hasn't. He was sitting on the bench for one of them. I mean, I feel like you could bench either of them, any of them. So I'll say I will bench Robinson to give him a break.
Robinson, wow. I kind of have a similar approach. I say bench Guzan.
Yeah,
defense is strong enough. Fuck it. Okay.
Put Walks in goal.
No, don't put anybody in goal. I mean, just play basically 5v5. Like, you're playing. Like,
Robinson can play that sweeper,
like,
man.
Look, you got to play side net. Like, if they score on you, it's got to be side net. You just set the rules at the beginning of the match. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's I think this fair. Defense is good enough that you don't need Guzan back there. Honestly.
I mean, you think about all the balls that Robinson has played off the line for us over the years.
Exactly.
You're probably not wrong.
Look at what happened this past week. I mean, it was called offside in their goal, but Robinson saves that goal from happening with his deflection there. I mean, I don't think you really need Guzan, honestly. Just me.
Oh,
he's an overpaid keeper anyway. We talked about it last week. Most overpaid keeper in the league. So.
Franco's probably going to sit, though, right? You would think.
Yeah, probably.
I would think Franco would say if we switch to a four in the back.
Well, the only reason I would not spill Franco is he seems to be getting some consistency under himself now. So do you pull him? But I would say you want to keep him going. So I would say either sit Walks or Robinson.
And I like your idea about sitting Robinson, especially with him having played. I mean, after the Gold Cup, right? He had one break, one game.
He didn't play in the Columbus game? No, he played in Columbus.
He played the Columbus game. It was the game.
He didn't play Montreal.
Montreal, right. But still, I mean, to Dan's point, he's played. You know what I say? I say you just rest Sosa. Like, you talk about somebody that's played every game this season. Like, I think he's somebody that's deserved a rest, and you can easily kind of change some of those responsibilities for the back line and maybe have Walks or Franco tracking a little bit more forward than they are sitting back in that back three. So, yeah, I think Sosa is probably more deserving of a break, to be honest, but that's just me.
Yeah, and put Sadic in there.
Yeah.
I don't know if Ibarra's ready to come back yet.
I don't either. I mean, Sadic obviously is. He came in as a sub late yesterday, so.
Oh, Ibarra came in?
No, Sadic.
Oh, Sadic. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
So there you go. Who are you sitting, Tim? Franco?
I think Franco, yeah. I think if this game is must win and you have to Carlos Rangel's point, saying that the chemistry between Walks and Robinson is more proven, if this game's must win and could potentially, this wouldn't get us over the playoff line, right? We still have to make up probably another 3 points.
Yeah. I think we're five or six out. I can't remember what.
Yeah. But I think you have to play those two guys in the back for right now. And I don't know that I can't remember who put that. I think it was Brittany S. in the trap saying you don't bring in Lennon just yet to start on Wednesday and give him a little bit more time to get back into the fold. I think maybe you put Hernandez at right back again.
I think that's a good shout.
Especially if, and I can't remember again, like the chat's going too fast, but somebody was also talking about, you know, the one thing that seemed to be off, and I think Kevin pointed this out too, Lennon's pace yesterday didn't seem to be there, seemed to be getting beat for pace, which is not typical of him. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, part of that, because he's been out
3 weeks,
2 weeks,
two or three weeks. Yeah.
He probably just needs the minutes to get back up, because you can't get match fit without playing games. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah, so who is that? I just said that we're 5 points out from seventh, but the first tiebreaker would kick us down to eighth with wins. So 6 points to secure playoff position right now.
We tried to go the Arsenal Invincibles route, didn't pan out for us. All the draws. So,
all right. All right, so any other thoughts about yesterday's game?
I thought we did a really good job on LAFC. I think, what did they get? Like, in the second half, they got like a bajillion shots, but only two or three on goal. I think that's a testament to our defensive players and our defensive midfield. I think we did a really good job on them, which is great because... I just can't stand Bob Bradley. Something about him.
Do you guys think he survives this bad stretch that LAFC's been having?
How did they do? They didn't do great last year, did they?
I don't.
I mean, yeah, I think they do, because I think he got the subs right. Because, you know, they had a lot more. They were able to get a lot more pressure. Like, the press was doing really well against us, even though they didn't get the shots on target. They probably stick with it. Is this their third or fourth year?
This is their fourth year, and I am of the – I'm with Greg for the culture. He's saying I think he could be done at the end of the season. I agree. I feel like they've been on the cusp a couple times, won the Supporter Shield one season, have a very rabid fan base, not unlike ourselves, have a really – seemingly demanding ownership group, and they seem to be, as Greg said, kind of toothless this year, and they don't seem to be playing up to their potential and up to their standard.
I mean, you got to think too, how much of the success in their Supporter Shield run was based on Vela having a breakout year where he won MVP of the league and Golden Boot, and this year he's got 5 goals on the season, I think. And I know that he's had an injury for a good portion of this season, but that's what happens whenever your team's a little bit one-dimensional. I know that they've just like every other team, though, they've had a lot of injuries and stuff this year. And whenever it's a marquee player like Vela, it's just like Atlanta's been without Joseph. You know, you got to kind of figure out what those other pieces are. And so I don't know how much of that goes back to the manager, though, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they've got – Cifuentes has got 5 goals and 3 assists. So he's only 1 assist away from being tied with Vela. And then Rossi's got 5 goals. Corey Baird's got 3 goals. I mean, they've been scoring goals, but it's just not – I don't exactly understand. I mean, you know, I'm not paying that much attention to LAFC. I don't understand why they're – why they've had such a downward trajectory.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think their front office, I mean, people are pointing out in the trap, the people that they've lost, the players that they've lost or traded away or sold in the past couple of years. And it's kind of indicative of, like, I could probably draw a correlation with their form to that, because Walker Zimmerman going, I think
absolutely going Walker, to Nashville, and then their defense was just never the same.
Mark Anthony Kay, who's now playing alongside Kellen Acosta, I believe, in Colorado. Diamande, I didn't realize that he was gone, but I did notice he's not playing with them. Greg said he's in the Middle East. I think I just saw he's in with the Chinese team, Kangju. Yeah, I don't know. And then Steven Perales saying Atuesta hasn't been playing all that well this year. I feel like it's been a combination of just like poor roster management. And then also maybe obviously they have young players, Atuesta, Diego Rossi, like those guys are not old and they have younger guys coming back up, but like these guys are not playing that well and not playing that up to, you know, their potential or what, like their form of the past few years. It's, I don't know. I think he's done probably in LAFC. I don't know. You might see, I would like to see Klinsmann take the helm.
Come on, man.
And go up against a
Chris Armas in there. Get Chris Armas.
Did you see the save that Johnny Klinsmann had yesterday?
Mm-mm.
Or Saturday? I think it was Saturday. It was a hell of a free kick he saved.
Who's he play for?
Galaxy. He's Galaxy's keeper.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, Dan, what you got? Toronto on Wednesday. Let's hear it.
Toronto, man, these motherfuckers have just fucked us over in the past, haven't they?
Yeah,
They've been great. Thank God. The Atomic Ant, can't even remember his name now. It's not there anymore. All right, Toronto, last place everywhere. Last place in the East, last place in the league. They've got 15 points. They've played 19 games, which means they've got no games in hand. Last 5 games at Chicago, they won 2-1. Well done. We suck at playing in Chicago. Drew 1-1 with Nashville at home. Lost to Philly in Philly 3-0. Drew with NYCFC 2-2. And then lost to New England 2-1. Actually, losing to England 2-1 is actually a respectable result because they are pretty, pretty good. They've conceded 40 goals, and it's interesting to see that in the first and last 15 minutes of a game, they've conceded 10 goals in that time. So strike early, strike late, and maybe we'll have
That's what Atlanta's been able to do. I mean,
yeah,
if you think about it, most of Atlanta's goals have come within the first couple of minutes either of the game or of the half. Over the past few matches, I mean, Joseph comes out, scores an early goal against Orlando. Barco comes out, scores early against Montreal. Joseph comes out again, scores early to get the scoring underway this past weekend against LAFC. So they're certainly making a habit of doing that and setting the pace early. It's just a matter of Atlanta can hold that out through the rest of the match. That's been a little bit more challenging, I think.
Yeah, so dive in a little deeper into that, Kev. We've scored 8 goals in the first half and then 14 in the second half, with 10 of those coming in the last half hour. And then we've scored 5 in the first 15 minutes of the game. So, I mean, that lines up pretty good. We tend to concede late, obviously. Last 15 minutes, we've conceded 8 goals this season, which is when Toronto, bizarrely, score most of the majority of their goals in the first 15 and last 15 of the game. So
it's the last 15 that I'm more worried about with Atlanta.
It's right gonna now. Be well, I mean, think how many Tim, who was the Atomic Ant? What was his freaking name? I can't remember him.
Oh, Sebastian Giovinco?
It's Giovinco, thank you. I mean, how many goals did he score?
Oh, dude. That one, man. Yeah.
Yeah, and
that one game at the bids on the Wednesday night a couple years ago was.
Is Nick DeLeon still with Toronto?
I will tell you in a second.
He's still currently playing, so he's going to score from half field off of a half volley somehow, and beat Guzan and keep us out of MLS Cup. But
he's not going to beat Guzan. I told you, we're sitting him.
we're going to play. Who did we say we're going to play at keeper? Miles. Miles.
No, playing keeper.
Yeah. Miles Robinson, the keeper.
Sweeper keeper.
So they've scored 24 goals this season, 16 from open play, 7 on set pieces. So let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yep.
Top 5 players they have on the team: Pozuelo, Delgado, Bradley, Osorio, and Soteldo. Those have been the highest ranked players, but I feel like Pozuelo and Soteldo are the most deadliest. They're the ones we want to watch out. They're their two best players. Soteldo, yeah, was a real, I think some people were hoping Soteldo would come to Atlanta United, but Toronto ended up getting him, and he's got the potential to be one of the best players in the league. And we've seen Pozuelo in the past few years, who's been absolutely fantastic for them. Man, I'm hoping that, I mean, yeah, to Brittany's point, it's a must-win game. I feel like we need to go guns blazing, but I think there was one time we beat Toronto 4-0 when they were in the doldrums of 2019.
You mean when they came back and still went to MLS Cup?
That same year, Kev, exactly right.
That year, that was really cool. They beat us in the playoffs to get there.
Yeah, in our own house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was awesome. So, but to put a positive spin, yeah, I'm gonna say 3-1.
I feel you like fucker, Toronto that's always mine. That's what I'm saying. That's mine this week. I said 3-1 as well.
They always put. I cannot count Toronto out. I just cannot do it against us. They're just one of our bogey teams. Them and the Red Bulls. I can't count them out.
Who you got for your goals then?
So Joseph.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Moreno.
Yeah.
And I think the new guy who I think, if he gets his visa, I think he starts and I think he scores. And then we just go freaking nuts.
Does Dan
Luis Araujo?
Does Dan get double points if he does get his visa and he scores?
I feel like you guys are just doing side bets because Hello. You need every point you can get at this point.
Well, exactly, Kevin.
Okay, Dan, I want to do a side bet.
U.S. Secretary? Yep. Yeah, we need a visa for him.
Hello, China.
Let me talk to Godzilla. Dan, I want to do a side bet. And then if I win, I get your points, you get my points.
We swap. Done. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, let's do it. What's the bet?
Franco gets a hat trick. No.
Well, that's not good.
What are you thinking, Jim, for prediction?
I think I'm with, I think Ingest and then Jay Hennebaugh both 2-1. And I think I like Moreno and Barco to get the two goals. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% positive Joseph is going to start on Wednesday.
Because of the hamstring?
The hamstring, he's been playing a lot. I think we might just give him a little rest. He looked a little haggard at the end of the game. And I don't want to ride him too hard, especially coming into DC's been playing pretty well lately, right?
Yeah, they well, they just lost 5-2 to
they're a shit team, but they're in the playoff. They're above the playoff line. Yeah, we're going up to the DMV on Saturday, Sunday. I'm losing track of time. Time's a construct.
Saturday.
Saturday. And we're going up to DC playing a playoff team. I don't know if you try to get away with resting him at least for the first like 60 minutes of the game and bring him on maybe to close it out on Wednesday. But yeah, no, I'll go 2-1. Yeah, Barco and Marcelino Moreno scoring the two goals.
Okay. I like it.
I mean, DC got beat 5-2 by Nashville and they go into New England on Wednesday. So, ooh. I mean, if I was DC, I'd just be putting out a B squad against New England, resting my starters. And then when Atlanta United come to town, playing my best squad I can, you know, they're probably not going to beat New England in New England. But
does MLS do fines the same way like EPL does? Like I remember Mick McCarthy would roll out like shit lineups for Wolves whenever he was there and they would get either points deduction or get fines or whatever for doing that. I wonder if that happens in MLS. Or if the rosters are not that deep.
I don't think you can. Because remember, Seattle did it. I mean, they...
Oh, yeah. Like 2 weeks ago, their average age was like 18 on the pitch.
Yeah, they still won.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty because Rui Diaz came in and won the game for him, right?
Yeah,
I think he came
Rui
in as
Diaz
the game.
Diaz cannot be killed by conventional weapons.
Oh, dude, how about that goal... Not just Rui Diaz's goal was amazing yesterday, but then Juan Madronda, was that his name? Juan Madronda or Jimmy Madronda, his goal. Did you guys see the goal, the fourth goal for Seattle last night? Holy shit. Do yourselves a favor and go check that out after the show because it is incredible. We can't show it. Obviously we'll get demonetized for the money that we don't make from this podcast.
Yep. Yeah. Other score predictions from you guys. Jay Hannibal, 2-1 good guys. Martinez scores a brace. Steven Perales, 2-0 Atlanta. Joseph and fuck it. Arujo scores on his debut. Ingest 100, 2-1 to the Stripes. Max plays games, 2-0 to the good. Joseph and Barco. Richard Gordon, 3-1 Atlanta. Elliot Beaven, 4-0 Atlanta. Michelle, 2-0 Atlanta. Carlos Rangel, 3-1 Franco with a brace and Miles with the other. I love it. Dan, I don't know. Do you have another, your timer reset since your last download so that you can create another one for DC United? What's the phrase I'm looking for there?
What I can say is they beat Red Bulls 1-0, drew 0-0 with Cincinnati, beat Columbus 4-2 in Columbus, but, you know, we beat Columbus at their building. They beat Montreal 2-1, and then they just got hammered on the weekend 5-2 to DC United. They're 27
your
points.
Your refractory period. Have we had a long enough refractory period between downloads? I guess so, because you're already off to the races. So you go ahead and finish up. We're all listening.
Did you just Google that?
Yeah. I don't want anyone looking at my history, that's for sure.
If I know anything, I think this one's actually going to be twice as long as the first one.
Twice as potent. So they're 27 points, right? So they're
I am a child. Oh God.
Oh man.
Sorry, Daniel.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. So, they've scored 29 goals. They have. Oh my God, you guys!
That seltzer through the nose.
All right. So, DC tends to score. Man, they're all over the map. They score beginning of the game. They score right before the last 15 minutes of the first half, and then towards the end of the game. So their biggest amount of goals they have is 7, is like between the 30 and 45th minute. This is all coming from SofaScore, by the way. So they're dangerous, but then they also seem to concede around the same times that they score goals. So probably the old thing is, you know, the old saying is you're most susceptible to conceding after you've scored a goal, seems to be prevalent with them. I mean, they've got 29 goals. Atlanta United have, how many goals do we have? Jeez, I'm all over the place now. 22 goals. Just breathe through it.
Just breathe.
This episode, this part of the podcast is brought to you by Laffy Taffy.
All right, best players. Andy Najjar, Ola Kamara, Julian Gressel is their third best player, Junior Moreno and Kevin Paredes. Top scorers is Ola Kamara with 11 goals. So Ola Kamara, you want to try shut him down, obviously, because he seems like how we Atlanta United were in 2019, where Joseph was scoring all our goals and nobody else was. He's the guy right there. Assists, of course, our old mate Julian Gressel leads the team with 4 assists. Then Andy Najjar with 3. How have they been lining up? I think they've been... Oh, this is great. This is great podcasting right here. Yeah. Well done, Dan.
Well done, dead air. Anyway, can we just go to score predictions?
Yep. Yeah, we can.
You did really good. You kind of fizzled out at the end there. But look, man, 2 is a lot to ask for.
Hey, man, I got like, what was that, 5-6 minutes?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Might be a personal
your second
best
time around? I mean,
no, man.
Are you finished, Dan?
I am finished.
All right. Unfortunately, I think the short week for Atlanta and being on the road is going to be a little too much. I'm going to say 1-0 DC. I think the streak has got to slow down a little bit at some point. I think DC beats Atlanta on the road this weekend. Just me personally.
I'm going to go 2-1 again, but I'm going to say Joseph with both.
Okay. Yeah.
If we're going to get into the playoffs, I feel like we're just going to have to go for broke in games. DC, you know, they've been really difficult against us because they had Luciano Costa, but now they don't. I think that we could beat them. I feel like we're just going to have to keep going because after DC, we've got a week off before we play Nashville. So
that's good. Yeah.
So I feel like we start Joseph in all the games, see how he does against Toronto. And when we're 3-0 up after 40 minutes, then we maybe look at subbing him off after halftime. So I don't think we have an option. We just have to go for it now, which means we just play our best squad. We don't get cute with like who is going to rest here and rest here with that, but we just have to go for it. So, I'm going to go scrappy 2-1 win in DC with a random goal from George Bello.
Yeah, baby.
And a Barco goal.
All right. I like it. From you guys in the trap, 2-0 against DC from Elliot Beaven. Jay Hannibal, 1-1 draw at DC. Arujo scores. Brittany S, 1-1 Atlanta. United, damn it, it's a draw, Brittany. Why are you doing this to me? My own words against me. 2-1 Atlanta from Richard Gordon, 1-1 with a Miles header from Steven Perales. 2-2 draw from For the Culture. But I think Pineda isn't making major changes initially, so we then, should win that match.
Yeah, Carlos Rangel with the new manager bump against DC, 2-1 Atlanta. Yeah,
yeah. And then Max Plays Games, 2-1 at DC, Moreno and Arujo. So either way, a lot of soccer this week.
Really, Kevin, I've shown you this. Dan, I don't think I've shown this to you.
That is beautiful.
Did you shrink your jersey?
Yeah, I shrunk my jersey.
Oh, shut up. That's amazing.
It's
That's
pretty really pretty fantastic. It's one of our really best friends, great. Matthew Cody, had this made for our daughter. And yeah, it's, I can't wait. It's that a six to nine month onesie. So start of next season, be able to strap her in it. She'll be able to sit up probably and start watching the games with us. And
that's going to be awesome.
It's pretty great. I think the company that he got it from is out of Snellville, I think. So, yeah.
I bet you could fit her in that in 3 months, man.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so. We'll see.
If not, she could just wear it and it'll be flopping around.
Exactly. It's sweater weather in a couple months, man. Nobody's going to notice.
That was the Liverpool onesie that I had on her on Saturday. So,
do you have a Merlin?
A Merlin?
Yeah, a Merlin.
Huh. I don't know.
Wizard
magic,
hat?
Magic Merlin? Oh no! Oh, you will want a Merlin, Tim. This is good fatherly advice. She may be too small for it.
You're swaddling. I think we do have one of those.
Okay.
Yeah. I know what you're awesome. Talking about now. Yeah. Those and the halos, the halo swaddles, have been pretty great. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm good at swaddling. It's one of my skills.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to like, subscribe, hit the bell icon to find out whenever we go live each and every week. See if Dan can beat his time next week. We'll all be here tuned in for that at least. In the meantime,
is time like getting less minutes or more minutes?
Dealer's choice.
Well, I guess people can ask that in the trap.
Wait, what was the question again?
Just come back for more downloads, Tim. That's all I really comes
down to. Well, okay. We'll only have one download next week because it'll be Nashville.
That's true. In the meantime, you can find all of us online independently. Dan, where can they find you?
You can find me at DNJMS. Or you can find me at the Paradan on Peloton building my endurance.
There you go. Tim, what about you?
You can find me on Instagram at Tim Herb.
Find me as well on Instagram at the architect. It's at @_ARC, TECT. Find all the boys on all the things at Home Before Dark. That's before spelled B and the number 4. And you can certainly find us all here next week. Until then, as always, be home before dark.
Happy birthday, Danny Palacios. Cheers. I don't think you're listening this far.
Toronto is the least Canadian place in Canada.
Fair.
What's the most?
Don't know. I just googled Toronto is shit, and that's what I found.